Hello and welcome to PMI's Uncommon Sense podcast, tools to improve your work forever. I'm Susanna Clark, Managing Partner with PMI, the performance improvement consulting and training firm. Our Uncommon Sense podcast is a 15-minute conversation with our expert consultants. They talk a lot of common sense, although much of it is not common practice. And that's what this podcast is all about. We want you to be inspired to improve your business through learning more about the tools which can help you succeed and grow. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dennis. It's great to have you in the studio with me.
Likewise, Suze. Always happy to be on a podcast with you.
Excellent. Thank you. So today, Dennis and I are going to talk about Schuchart. Now, many of you may not know who Schuchart was. So I'm going to just start by saying that the reason we're talking about Schuchart today is because in May, it is his celebration of 100 years since Walter Schuchart invented what some of you may know as SPC, and which we commonly call the control chart. And so as part of a celebration of that, we thought it would be interesting to do a bit of background on who Walter Schuchart was and the history of his invention of the control chart and where that came from. Dennis, would you like to kick us off with telling us a little bit about a background to Schuchart, please?
Sure. So PMI has been using the control chart in its 40 years of existence. And of course, we live and breathe it as consultants, but actually, we don't really talk when we talk about the control chart about Walter himself. Where did he come from? Where did he work? How did he come up with the ideas? And what happened afterwards, after he published that first memo in May of 1924? So I thought, let's do a bit of research into the journals. What has been written about him? What did he write? So what is the story behind the man, as we say? Let me just give a little bit of a synopsis in terms of some timelines.
Okay.
So he's born in 1891 and he passed away in 1967. So he was 76 years young when he passed away. He's American. So Walter Schuchart is an American, born in Illinois. And he first goes to university to study electrical engineering, gets a bachelor's and a master's. And then he finishes this with a physics PhD, which he does at the University of California, and he's 26 years old. And then he begins his career at Western Electric at the Hawthorne Works, which some of you may know about in terms of the Hawthorne experiments, which he was an active part of. And this was in Chicago. So it's 16th of May, 1924, and he sends a memo to his boss at the time, which summarizes, say, hey, boss, I've got a way of understanding something around the variation in our processes that you may find of interest. Warm regards, Walter. And in that is a copy of the first published control chart, which for those amongst us who know it, is an X bar and R chart. That's the first control chart he actually publishes in this memo. And this is the first evidence we've got the control chart is born. So he's 33 years old by this point when he publishes this. And then he continues with the understanding of what I would consider an extremely pragmatic view of how to apply this stuff in reality. So when you read his books and his journals, they are full of experiments, and not just experiments on 2 or 10 data points. No, he uses thousands of experiments, which of course he could do because he was working in a high volume manufacturing process for communication. So in his late 40s, he writes his first book. And it's called Statistical Methods from the Viewpoint of Quality Control. And I have a copy of it here. This is non-original. It's a 50th anniversary edition. It has got a signature in it, but actually it's a printed signature. And the foreword, of course, is by somebody else we know very well, William Edwards Deming, who wrote in 1980 the foreword to this. So he continues working on this. He also creates a journal, which is all about statistics. And then he retires at the age of 65 from the Bell Labs at the time. And in 1966, they created an award in his name. The ASQ, the American Society for Quality, establishes the Schuchart Medal. And at the age of 76, so this is in 1967, he passes away in New Jersey. So that's a little small synopsis. Now, what's also interesting about Schuchart is he wasn't just a statistician, he was also a keen outdoorsman. So he liked hiking, hunting, fishing, etc. And so Deming wrote about him and says this is where he got his creativity, his ideas that he then applied in business. So it's also lovely to understand a little bit about where he got his inspiration from, which was in nature.
And do you know at all in any of the research you've done, Dennis, what the problem was that he was observing that caused him to think about creating that first control chart?
Yes. So, and this will be no surprise to you, Suze, he spotted variation in the manufacturing processes, trying to figure out where this variation came from, and he was trying to also figure out when should we respond to that variation. It's absolutely in the DNA of every single publication by him. As a matter of fact, just in this book alone, there's a number of chapters just about the detection of out of control processes, which he then goes through in great mathematical lengthy detail to describe his observations. So Schuchart identified, his words, two categories of variation, and he called them assignable cause and chance cause. Now, we of course know them as special cause and common cause, or Don Weedle later on called them natural and unnatural variation. But the chance cause, every process just has chance causes in it. But what was really interesting about it, and I will give you this quote, and this is the pragmatism in Schuchart's approach to why he wanted to use these. First of all, the name of the book, Economic Control of Quality. The object of industry is to set up economic ways of satisfying human wants, and in doing so, to reduce everything possible to routines, requiring a minimum amount of human effort. Through the use of the scientific method, we haven't spoken about this one yet, PDSA as we know it, extended to take account of modern statistical concepts, it has been found possible to set up limits within which the results of routine efforts must lie if they are to be economical. Deviations in the results of a routine process outside such limits indicate that the routine has broken down and will no longer be economical until the cause of the trouble is removed.
Which is wonderful, isn't it? Because that explains everything. But it's so rare that we hear people repeat that in that way. It's not how they think of it. In a way, that is the difference between the sort of seeing the chance that the assignable goes as an opportunity as well for learning in order to make things better rather than just a bit of an inconvenience.
And therefore, everything else that people have been challenging the control chart on, like why are these limits at three standard deviations? Schuchart says, I've done the research. There are other ways of coming up with these limits. However, three standard deviations makes economical sense. And here's the proof. 10,000 experiments I've run to figure out this is useful. So I'll come back to something I said earlier. I love the pragmatism in his approach of using very complex statistical theory, broken down to very bite-sized, understandable concepts that could be applied on the shop floor. So Walter, of course, is also known as the creator or co-creator of the scientific method that we know as Plan, Do, Study, Act. It was Schuchart, Deming, and Juran. So these three all worked together during that 1930s to 1950s era. They were all working together at the same place. That's why they got to know each other, and they kept refining their understanding and honing in about using scientific methods for process improvement and actually process control, as they named it. But here's now an interesting thing. Between 1924, the first memo was published, and the 1960s, there's actually very little evidence of the control chart being used. So when you start to look at all the journals, yes, it gets published in books. Yes, there were some journals, but actually there was very little evidence, at least in the archives I was able to access.
Do you think that's because it was being used in Western Electric but wasn't outside that?
No, I don't think so, because of course there was such a revolution going on in mass manufacturing. There were lots of publications. There was lots of things being described, in science. Just think about all the great physicists with the Nobel Prizes. It was that golden era. But the control chart wasn't actually part of that until a lady called Bonnie Hall appears on the scene. And Bonnie Hall in the 1950s recognizes that there's something unique about the SPC chart, but somehow Walter didn't get attraction within the Western Electric Works, the Hawthorne Works, etc., to actually deploy it in the everyday. And Bonnie Hall is the one that then actually takes this and manages to get it onto the shop floor. As a matter of fact, there's one quote that by the time that she left her post in Allentown, in this case, there were more than 5,000 control charts posted. And the other interesting fact is, we know the Western Electric rules for detecting signals. And I was thought Schuart came up with them. And he may have come up with them, but the codification of them, again, were done by Bonnie Hall. So I want to talk about this more in another podcast, which I think she's been instrumental in taking the work from Schuart and actually making it come alive.
Yes. So often it actually is hard, isn't it, to make your own work come to life because you're so involved in it.
I assume so, yes. And then, of course, Don Wheeler, that we know, again, did another massive revolution of it in the 1980s onwards. So we can't ignore the fact that Schuart came up with a fantastic chart. He also did attribute control charts that, you know, most of us were taught when we first started to understand these things called control charts. So he did all the groundwork. So without a shadow of doubt, Schuart was the creator of the control chart. So that's beyond discussion. But I should say, of course, he didn't just dream this up overnight. He was sitting on the shoulders of giants. One of them was a gentleman called Laplace. The other one was a Russian called Chebyshev. And there were many others that preceded him. There were statisticians which were now in the 19th century, which did a lot of work around where does data sit? What's the distribution of data? What's the chances of data sitting somewhere? But also about statistical tests. And one of them is the chi-square test, which is often one of these other tests that we throw at black belts. There's a lot of work by others that he took inspiration from to come up with his concept.
And also the fact that he was in a different time. As you said, it was mass manufacturing. That's what he was dealing with. Looking at the variation of the processes and the outputs of that and saying, well, what's going on and what are the causes and how on earth would we know which of those we should respond to? And I think that's the real key, isn't it? It's about not just having data for data's sake. It's about how do you know when to respond and how to respond? And then secondly, how do you use the data to improve?
Absolutely. And the second part, and you mentioned it, he was inside the place where the work was happening. He was there. He was next to the shop floor. He could walk on there. And a lot of the experiments that he did were also done after hours, so not to impact the workers on the shop floor. And because this was a company that did telecommunications, they also had telegraph poles. And some of his research was how far does creosote, which is preservative, the ingress of creosote into the telegraph pole. So you had all these slices through these telegraph poles to see this process gives me this kind of ingress. And he came up with a chart again, which looks a bit like a circle, as you would imagine it, with the outsider being a wobbly thick line to demonstrate this is how we can assess it. So he's also very practical, in my view, on trying to make this stuff come alive through the act of observation in the workplace.
Brilliant. And your favourite Schuart quote, Dennis?
Statistical thinking will one day be as necessary for efficient citizenship as the ability to read and write.
Yeah, I like the sense of efficient citizenship. I like that aspiration about the fact that it's everybody's job. Dennis, that's brilliant. Thank you so much. Really interesting to hear more about Schuart as we celebrate 100 years of the control chart. Thank you again. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find more episodes of our Uncommon Sense Tools to Improve Your Work Forever in our Knowledge Hub on our website, or, of course, your favourite podcast platform. And do subscribe so you never miss an episode. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode, where you'll find links to more content on this topic, which includes webinar recordings, toolbox guides, blogs, and infographics, and our training page. You can always drop us a line on team@pmi.co.uk and arrange a time to have a call to talk about how these tools can help you in your organisation. We'd really love to hear from you.